Hello, it's us again with another episode of the Food Trainers Podcast. Today's topic is one we hear a lot from new clients in our office.
When clients contact us, we find there's certain common refrains, things that they enter on their info forms. I work out every day and yet nothing is happening, or I'm doing all the things I used to do and not seeing a result. Or today's focus, I'm doing everything right. or at least I think I am.
I feel like I am.
And the thing is, you can be doing many things correctly and still not getting leaner or feeling more energized or in control. And inevitably, when we spend our 90 minutes, you know, we really dig in deep with a new client, we always find potential areas to improve. And we love that. And then I think people are encouraged, and where they were previously frustrated, they feel good too. So I think you have to be careful with these absolute statements. Such as nothing's working or I'm doing everything right, as they can really be a barrier to progress. And part of us helping clients is kind of getting out of that negative headspace.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to let you in on 10 key areas we look at when a new client comes in. We never want to overwhelm anyone with all the things you know, quote unquote, should be doing. That always tends to backfire mm-hmm. when we give someone a list of 30 things. Or I remember like when I first started, you know, seeing clients, I would send them out with a list
Here's
of 10
everything.
Things. Here's everything. Here's all the information you could ever want. And it's really, really overwhelming. So we generally only give clients two or three priorities or things to do for the upcoming week. And then usually when someone comes in the following week, we'll sort of update that or sort of build on to what they're doing and all the areas that they're tweaking. So if you can relate to feeling like you're already doing everything right, or you just want to jump into the mindset of a nutritionist, maybe let's do this.
I'm not sure anybody wants to jump into my mind, but I completely know what you mean. Mm-hmm. So the first one, we call it Vegify. I think that many seemingly healthy people who, you know, are doing the workouts and everything else, when you actually look at what they're eating in a day, their vegetables include like lettuce and tomato or potato. But these are people who like veggies and really think that they're eating them. So what we do and what we think we do and what we actually eat are very different. And that's where, you know, sort of food logging can be really illuminating.
Yeah, 100%. I just had a client email me. We're doing a food stocking week, and she ate like tuna salad and olives for lunch, which like is fine.
Yeah, like tuna, like olives.
I like them both. Yeah. But then she got to after dinner, and she sent me her food log. And then this morning, she sent me like reopened the kitchen with ideal foods. But I was looking back at her lunch, like that was really not enough food. There was not a vegetable there really. So I think that it's just like sort of
good example.
Going back.
Absolutely. And again, fiber is, you can mm-hmm. listen to our deep load and poop episode, I think we talked about, but fiber is important for fullness, and fiber from certain vegetables help balance your hormones, and fiber helps you excrete a little extra fat, and we don't like weird fibers or weird powders or crackers. So vegetables are a great way to get those in. An ideal vegetable day, as far as we're concerned, would look something like you'd have one, we call them top shelf vegetables. They're also known as brassicas or cruciferous vegetables. Those are your broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus, mm-hmm. Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale. What am I good? Okay.
Great.
a client pointed out a lot of them start with A, B, and C. But those are really sort of like, you know, sort of the top of the veggie hierarchy. So have those once a day, a couple of cups of those. One top shelf vegetable, and then for a second vegetable, have either like crudité, like cut raw vegetables, or like a leafy green. If you want to overachieve, you can do fermented veggies. We love kimchi and krauts and all of those.
Lauren's a fermented veggie overachiever. Hi. Definitely.
Yeah, it's like a jar a day. It's really, there's something. It's either really good for me or really bad for me. But yeah, those, it doesn't take a lot of those to make a big difference. And I think our post-summer podcast, we talked about those. And then we have something we call Breggy, which is vegetables at breakfast. So that could be putting vegetables in eggs or an omelet or green smoothie. Mm-hmm. We stretch it a little bit with mint mm-hmm. with a Greek yogurt to get some green in there. But it's a really, if nothing else, psychologically, nice way to start the day.
100%. Okay, so first you're going to vegify. Second, what we look at is considering carbs but not calories. So we don't look at calories at all, you know, or talk calories really with clients, but often people are carbing, you know, those grains, whether it's like bread all over the place, pizza, pasta, of course, if someone thinks they're really healthy, a lot of times they're already cutting those out, but it can be like beans, lentils. They can be doing this all over the place and not realizing. And so a lot of times, even when they're considered healthy foods, they still are all over
right.
the place.
I think that really almost fast. Backfires for people because they're like, wait, first they're like, wait, beans are carb? I'm like, they give you protein, but yes.
That's an amazing, that's probably the biggest myth-busting we do in our office.
You know, people are really stuck on that.
Beans and lentils, and yeah.
But like Carolyn said, it could be oats, sweet potatoes, chickpeas, beans, squash, all of winter squashes, all of which we're completely in favor of, mm-hmm. but just not at every meal in the day.
Totally. So our typical rule of thumb for weight loss is going to be one carb at a meal per day. So that's like one fist size or one cup really worth. And we don't really think you need to be measuring, but like definitely eyeballing. And this, of course, shifts based on gender and age and food restrictions. Like if someone's a vegetarian or vegan, they're probably going to have a little bit more of those, of mm-hmm. those carb grain meals. Research does show, though, that there's an increase in increase in insulin resistance with age. So that means that you're going to have a harder time sort of, or higher blood sugar reaction really to more of these carbs. And so that can be true even more so in your 30s and in your 20s. And, you know, as we get older, it can really increase blood sugar fluctuations.
The net meaning like a 40-year-old client is going to have fewer carbs than a 20-something,
right.
even if they're the same weight and gender, probably.
Exactly.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. But something to keep in mind too, our body, you know, what once worked doesn't always work.
100%.
So I think that that's really the takeaway too of like what you did last year or 10 years ago. You might need to switch things up from that too.
Which goes back to the, I'm doing the same thing and it's not working. I'm always like, well, we mm-hmm. need to do different things.
Yes. Like, yeah. Reintroduce things.
No
to
more
our
1990.
Definitely. So there are some secret weapons that can help with this blood sugar fluctuation. That would be apple cider vinegar. We love lemon. And then cinnamon is like a secret weapon. I love adding cinnamon to coffee in the morning.
And the Illa cinnamon, it's funny. We're not generally product pushers, but there's certain things we're passionate about. We have this cinnamon. You can find it on Shop Food Trainers in our offices. And people are always like, is it that good? Is it worth it? You know, isn't cinnamon? First of all, no, there are a bunch of types of cinnamon, but it's so good.
Yes, it is delicious.
And also just with the carbs that Carolyn was talking about from a weight perspective, because I think we always hear, this is good to keep your blood sugar stable. What that means is the less your blood sugar goes up, little science, the less insulin your body needs to secrete. And the less insulin you secrete, the less body fat you store. So that's sort of how it affects your weight. So we have the veggies, we have the carbs. For number three, we're going back to kindergarten a little bit with something that we call circle time. So many healthy people, like this is something that we see with when clients come in for the first time, many healthy but busy people sort of marginalize their daytime eating. They might skip or have a tiny breakfast or have something minimal like a yogurt or a snack midday. And then it's like, bring it on at dinner. So if you visually think of like a little bit and then a little bit more and then like a lot at the bottom, that's kind of like a triangle. That's how most people eat if they're, you know, sort of not thinking about it too much, this bottom heavy day. So instead, we suggest four evenly spaced feedings. Still don't have a better word for that. So like a breakfast that has some protein in it. We have a breakfast episode if you need ideas. Lunch really is the most important meal of the day for us. You have a lot of hours ahead of you. You also have a lot of time to potentially burn off food. So certainly lunch should be the largest, but if not, at least your protein should be the largest. And you want that lunch to have the protein, the vegetable component, and also a little bit of good fat. Have some go-to snacks. We love our nut case, but you know that's midway between lunch and dinner. And then if you do all of this correctly, you can really taper your dinner. So we always say dinner should be early or smallish or both. That's the time of the day when your insulin is actually, you know, working at its worst. So you don't want to have a mega meal at that time. So I know that everybody's schedule is different and you can definitely find that you're more of a night owl, more on that in a little bit, but you don't want to be like an eating night owl.
Totally. Yeah. So, okay. So we have veggies.
Does that make, just back to the circle. So yeah. The circle is like a little in the morning, a lot, not a lot, but like a main meal midday and then sort of tapering as your day goes on. So if you can
Not triangle eating, not like little, exactly. little more, hugest meal.
This is very difficult to do in words without visuals. we'll try to put up some visual in the newsletter, et cetera.
So number four, we have rethinking your drinking. And we've said it before, listen to our alcohol podcast if you haven't heard it yet, but alcohol is a toxin, even if it's Lauren and my favorite toxin. And from a weight perspective, what we see a lot is not only just the alcohol, sort of calorically speaking, but alcohol is going to lower your inhibition a little bit and your blood sugar. And after a cocktail, often we see people, and myself included, can be like headfirst into the breadbasket if you haven't eaten anything or you're heading into a meal really hungry. And then maybe you're not feeling so hot the next day, your workout suffers, and your next day of food can totally go downhill also. Beyond that, something that we're learning a lot about too is that alcohol really impedes clearing estrogen. So it can affect our hormones in a really big way. So especially if you're someone who suffers from like PCOS, PMS, perimenopausal, sort of, you know, in different phases of life, it can be even more impactful. So you need skips. I think of this as more of taking a night or taking a couple of weeks off. We, you know, hear some clients, I guess, doing Sober September right now. Sober October is a popular one too, so you can really find any reason to do it. And so for younger 20-somethings, I always say single digits. And sometimes this sounds ridiculous to people who don't drink, but
right.
single digits, so 10 or less, definitely. And as we get older, our drinks should probably get lower. And I think of them as around 4 to 7 max for the week. It's kind of amazing. You'd be shocked how quickly these can add up if you're a very social person. So just start to track them for a week and see where you're at.
Yeah. And you just made me think of something, which is, you know, we think a lot of people like have their thing. Like for one person, it's alcohol. For another person, it's sugar, carbs, et cetera. We all have things that we're better at and worse at. But some of the times what happens is like alcohol really isn't someone's thing, or sugar really isn't someone's thing, and yet they're having too many.
Totally.
So for that person, especially if you're like, take it or leave it with alcohol, but you're having 8 drinks, like, oh, you know, if it's not your favorite toxin, then let's ditch it, you know, totally. That kind of thing. So I think that that's a key. You know, there's going to be areas that are, you know, just more emotionally loaded and difficult to cut back. If something's easy to cut back, like definitely try to heed our advice. 100%.
I had a new client recently who was like, bagels on Wednesdays are my thing. And then, no, alcohol is my thing. And then
so many things.
Then ice cream is my thing. And I'm like, okay, so we have to like pick and choose. You know, you do have to choose your vice assuming you want to make changes. If you don't, then you feel good.
Right. And that's why we give budgets, which is to say like you have these to spend in the course of a week, whether it's drinks or whether it's carbs, and that, you know, it's very personal how we then choose to utilize those. Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel like we're talking about it. It's good. It's a good topic. Vegetables, carbs, larger lunches, booze, next comes stress. And I think it's another one where like many of those like water drinking, kale eating people like go totally blank when I'm like, what do you do to relax?
Yes.
Or they'll say like, oh, I work out. And I'm like, no. Like to your body, like running on the treadmill or spinning is not necessarily relaxing, although we're definitely pro-exercise. It's really in some ways a micro stress on the body. And it's, you know, sort of, if we think of antioxidants, it's a little bit of a pro-oxidant. But when your body's stressed, it goes into this self-preservation mode and it really can't focus on weight or weight loss, or your metabolism's not working ideally. So historically, or sort of, you know, in times past, this fight or flight state was like when you were like fending off like a lion or something. The problem is, you know, with our modern lives is that we're in this constant state of high stress from city living and busy jobs and family stress. I don't have, you know, we all feel it. So the question is what to do. Our first answer to this, even though it's not something you could do like in the middle of your day, is that sleep. So we always ask for details on how much clients are sleeping, how long, and a really important one for the sake of stress hormones is if you feel rested when you wake up. Mm-hmm. When you sleep, it's when, you know, sort of, it's like kind of like charging your phone. It's when all your hormones reset, your appetite hormones reset, your stress hormone resets. And if you're not getting adequate sleep, which for us would be 7 hours or more, your hormones are going to be a little bit out of whack, you know, all different areas of your hormones. An example just to show you is, so when we don't sleep enough, our cortisol goes up. Cortisol is a stress hormone. cortisol and progesterone, which is kind of like, you know, the Xanax or Valium of hormones. It's a feel-good hormone.
I've never heard it described like that, but I'm interested. It's a good one.
Anything that's Xanaxy is appealing to me. So you can see when your stress is soaring, you know, and your, you know, sort of cortisol is taking, you know, sort of some of these receptor sites from your progesterone, you can sort of see how this cascade happens. Mm-hmm. So beyond trying to get to bed at, you know, let's say 10 or 11 or earlier and not, you know, sort of getting to bed too late, you can meditate. Carolyn's like the meditation queen. Apps such as, let's say, Headspace and 10% Happier. I'm loving my, maybe loving it a little too much, my Juve, which is red light therapy. Also, you know, sort of a good for mood, et cetera. You could do a yoga class, or if you're not a class person, you could do it on demand at home. You could do acupuncture. Carolyn's sister, a little shout out, is Indigo Acupuncture. Acu or acupuncture?
Indigo Acu on Insta. Her name is Sarah.
So check her. She, you know, sort of always has interesting posts if you're, you know, sort of curious about that area. Yanova in New York, opening a new location, I think, this week too. It is a good one. But it can be simple. You can listen to relaxing music. You could take an Epsom salt bath. I mean, I could go on and on. But like, to be honest, this is, Carolyn said, a really good impact on me. But this is newer to me. I'm like your go.
Yes, you are.
Like, person. And you know, and that's just sort of like how I'm built and wired. But your body is really less forgiving, especially as you get older, with that sort of constant pace of being active and high stressed.
Yeah, and you want to like prevent feeling burnt out wherever you can. So I think it's
nice. And it's a part of health. You know, it's I was doing a quiz in a book I was reading, and it was, if I've given this example, I'm sorry, before, but they divided your life into all these different aspects. So I did, you know, food, and I was like, I'm so great. No, I'm just kidding. And then I did, you know, sort of, then it was food quality or something of that nature, or, you know, pesticides, and we're going to get into some of that in a little bit. But then I got to like stress management. I'm like, oh,
could use some work here.
Yeah. So I've definitely been trying a little harder in that category.
Yeah. So on that note too, with exercise sort of window, many people sort of don't pay so much attention to the potential issues of over-exercising or potentially being an active couch potato, which is someone who goes to a really intense workout class for 45 minutes or an hour, and then sits on the couch or sits on their butt all day at the office.
A lot of those. Yeah.
Sometimes I fall into that too. So then we also see some people only do cardio or only do weights or only do yoga. And switching it up for our bodies is really, really important as well. And, you know, sort of surprise, shocking your system a little bit. Mm-hmm. Again, doing what you've always done doesn't tend to work after a while. And one other time too, we see this a lot, is people come in training for a half marathon or a marathon and then tend to green light a lot of extra eating because of it. And so actually go back and listen to our exercise pod if you have a lot of
the pitfalls, yeah.
And sort of our food recommendations. It's definitely an area that we look at. Of course, we've said a million times, we are not personal trainers, but it really, exercise and food can really go hand in hand for a lot of people. And sometimes I see like people's food is quote unquote on when their exercise is on, and then everything falls off the wagon at the same time. And then lastly, we do have clients show us the Steps app on their phone, the health app, and get a feel for what does your day typically look like. Of course, I would prefer that you don't have your phone on you every single step you take all day, but
it's usually what people say, like, I'm not always carrying my phone. I'm like, well, you are some of the time.
At least a little of the time. And so if I see less than like 3,000 a day, what do you think? Is there like a minimum that you see? Like 3,000? Well, gotta get moving a little more.
Yeah, and it's astounding. And I have some busy days that, you know, could fall into this category too. Where if I'll talk to clients and they're like, okay, come down from my apartment, I get in an Uber or a taxi, mm-hmm. I go to the office, I sit at the office, and then I do the same thing on the way home and mm-hmm. go to sleep. You'd be surprised how few steps. I'm like, is this possible? This person took like 100 steps. Yeah. But it is, again, like you just look, sometimes some days are like that. And that's a day where like, if you can take an extra flight of stairs or just get yourself, I think Carolyn was right, like that 3,000 point is just, at least if you're above that, you're not inactive.
Yeah.
And then 6,000 is usually what we like everybody to get every day, as many days as they can.
10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think just boosting that wherever you can. And if some days are just going to be inactive days, so the next day, focus on getting moving a little bit more and maybe do get up to that 6,000, 10,000 steps point. So that's exercise.
Hormone disruptors. We talked about it a little bit with respect to how sleep affects your hormones. But, you know, hormones, Carolyn mentioned some of the areas of PMS or fertility or perimenopause, low testosterone for men. So there's lots of areas where we have, you know, sort of hormonal concerns. Things like lots of plastic, hormone disruptors in your cosmetics, pesticides on your produce or, you know, on your, that your, the, your chickens are eating or any of those things. There's many endocrine disruptors and there, a lot of these are also thyroid disrupting so that they can affect us, you know, that will indirectly affect your weight, et cetera. I said I wasn't going to say et cetera today, but so you want to, you know, sort of cut the plastic that you use in terms of food containers, switch to glass or metal water bottles, never ever heat in plastic. And you want to look at this as a piece of the puzzle. Again, I think some of our like savvy New York clients are like, you know, like we can get like a little bit of an eye roll. We love just in terms of resources. I love a website called Take Care DC. They're on Insta. The owner is just incredible. Like I randomly emailed a question about natural deodorant and she like solved my issue. It's taken like years and many smelly days to figure that out. Carolyn's friend Abby's Food Court is great if you're looking to like, you know, de-plastic a little bit. Yeah. Environmental Working Group for produce and to find out, you know, sort of which they have something called a dirty dozen and a clean, but I think it is like clean 13 now or something like that. But the produce with the most and least pesticides. So you can at least try to buy organic for the dirty one, so to speak. Specifics, we love our Topo Chico glass seltzer bottles. May Lindstrom does amazing, you know, if you're just trying to get some of the chemicals out of your skincare. Also just like a nice human. And Jiva Po, we both love their body oils. They're a great company. You can look that up. We'll put all of this in the show notes. Any like shout outs on your end?
Our trainer's flask, of course, too. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, having a reusable water bottle has been a huge one for me. And reusable coffee mugs, too. I found a bunch of cool ones just on Amazon, like a ceramic one too. And that has been a really big game changer for me to, coffee cups, the paper coffee cups have a little bit of a plastic lining inside. And so when you put heated liquid in it, unfortunately the coffee hot tea is going to leach the plastic right into your coffee.
Yeah. We talk about water bottles not getting hot. That's like hot. It's coffee crazy. Or tea is hot instantly.
It's crazy. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of now. I mostly make coffee at home, but when I go out, everywhere's happy to fill that up for you. So that's been a main one.
That's a good one. I always try to, like, if I even just have an extra minute, sit and have it in like the ceramic mug at the place and not take it. I've done it because Carolyn scared me about the cups, but it really also, it's like kind of like, especially nice, with like the luxury. Nice weather. To sit and enjoy that is really nice too.
Totally. Okay. So Lauren and I have talked about this a ton on other episodes, but this might be the most underestimated or ignored area of healthy eating. And that is doing it yourself or less takeout. Mm-hmm. So going homemade a little bit more. And we definitely live, you know, in New York City. We are in the city of takeout and also great dinners out. It's so fun to go out to a really great new restaurant. You know, we have a lot of friends who have restaurants and you don't have to give that up. Of course, we're huge fans of being able to do that and incorporating a healthy life into doing that. But one issue with restaurants and takeouts is really going to be the oils used. And we discussed oils and especially in takeout salads on our fat podcast. I think I messed one of that up actually with sweet green. I should point out it's grapeseed oil, not rapeseed oil that's used in the salads, but similar omega-6 inflammatory side effects.
And since that episode, just a little update, we've, you know, dug a little further and reached out to a bunch of salad places and really unimpressed with both. I mean, I won't name names, but there was Sweetgreen lists all their ingredients on their website. They're transparent in that respect. Mm-hmm. And I really do think they try to do a really good job in a lot of ways. But there's a big salad chain. I listed it in stories. Hopped. Sounds like Hopped. That doesn't even list their ingredients on the website. So we reached out and then they, you know, sorry to digress, but it's an important one. But they then said, I said, oh, I'm having trouble finding these, which is always a red flag, by the way. And they said, oh, well, our recipes are proprietary. So they gave me a list of oils, lots of them, like Carolyn mentioned, the canola, soy, corn, et cetera. But you couldn't, you can figure out a little bit if it says contains soy, but you don't know which dressings have which. Yeah. So it's not good.
Anywhere you can do olive oil too, or I know that like Who Kitchen, for example, is a good quality restaurant in the city, grab and go, and they use a lot of coconut oil too. Mm-hmm. So another issue besides the oils are used is going to be portions. Almost across the board, they're going to be way too large. And of course, lastly, quality. Lauren mentioned all the pesticides used earlier and how they can impact your health. But not so many restaurants really use organic veggies, wild fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will certainly highlight that if they do, because they can charge a lot more. So you will know if a restaurant uses super, super high quality produce and food. And finally, it's really difficult to be connected to your food on, you know, sort of maybe a deeper woo-woo level if it's all delivered or comes in a box. And so clients come in across the board with this. If someone cooks zero, I will start with like eggs or a smoothie, or maybe start to assemble a salad. You know, let's make this like a little bit proactive, but definitely getting involved a little bit with your food. You want to start where you are, but you also want to start.
100%. Yeah. And I think that people think that it's such a chore. And then oftentimes there really is. I know not everybody loves to chop as much as we do, but there really is something nice about connecting to your food and putting a little bit more effort into where you're getting it from, and asking some questions. And one other important one, we've done a whole podcast on this, is vitamins. So just to reiterate, we really all need something. This stems from our food supply and the vitamin content of food being lower in terms of nutrition. Mm-hmm. But also just we're way past preventing deficiencies, and we want our clients and we want you to have optimal health. So we have our food trainers foursome. That's vitamin D, a probiotic, an omega-3, magnesium. With few exceptions, we really think that most people can benefit from these in terms of energy, metabolism, immunity, managing stress, and cognition. So those are sort of four really good basics. But this is a place where we can fit somebody who says, you know, they're doing everything right. We can often, you know, fill in the blanks. Is someone's mercury high, or is their energy low? Are they having hot flashes, or really, you know, sort of debilitating PMS? I just had a client last week, and he was saying that all of a sudden his workouts felt difficult, or his energy was low, or maybe, you know, just handling somebody's sleep is another place that we would supplement. So yes, always food first. We start there, and then, you know, you could say we accessorize a little bit with the supplements, but they can make a big difference.
Definitely. Okay. And finally, lastly, number 10, there are always no's, or like a couple of no's, or at least one no. And these are going to be a couple of items to remove from your diet. So we find that most people have some sort of healthy eating outlier, whether that's the occasional diet soda, chewing gum, some sort of sneaky gluten that they don't realize that they're getting, Splenda, any sort of artificial sweeteners or food dyes, or cold cereal. Sometimes you'll see like icky deli meats, like Boar's Head, you know, with sugar and gluten and like all sorts of fillers and binders in them. Tonic water, office freebie snacks, you know, picking at kids' food. So then I guess it's a lot of times a specific food item that's in there, or it's a less healthy habit that we want to improve, like maybe late night eating, grazing all day, picking kids' food up, skipping breakfast, treats. You know, treats are different, definitely. No items are the ones that are like on a regular basis that we really want to pay attention to, and like sort of overtly unhealthy, because we think it's really important to incorporate treats into any client's plan, like a treat meal.
And the thing with a lot of those no items is they're not savored and enjoyed like a treat. They're sort of just there because they're there.
Or really picking the bowl of M&Ms on your, you know, off, you know, colleague's desk or something.
Versus like once a week having like a special sweet treat out to eat or something like that.
Definitely.
So I think as you can see, even if you think you're doing everything right, they're almost, I was going to say almost always, but there are always places that you can tweak, or you can upgrade or boost. Food journaling is definitely one of the best ways to see like where your, you know, gaps lie and areas for improvement. We have our daily deeds log up on Shop Food Trainer. So if you want sort of something that you can put in writing, and we do like writing as opposed to an app for this, check that out, or you can come see us.
Yeah. So as a recap, we want you to vegify, consider carbs, think about that circle time, rethink your drinks, adjust the stress. Number six would be no active couch potatoes. Ditch the disruptors. Those are hormone disruptors. Go homemade and DIY, and then accessorize it with vitamins. And lastly, just say no to whatever that healthy outlier is.
And even when you were just going through those, you could see that like we don't suggest that you do all of these things at once. We pick and, you know, pick a couple of them, that kind of thing.
So any final thoughts?
I would say that keep a food journal for a week. I think it's just like always eye-opening. Doesn't sound sexy, but there's really no way to know what you're actually doing if you don't do that. As we just said, pick two or three areas to address and really try to ace those. And see how you feel. I think that once you start to feel encouraged and improved, like, I'm onto something, then you're ready for more. And as I say to clients who feel like they're doing everything right, you're not broken. Promise. There's always, something lurking that we can do to make you feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see this in ourselves a lot too. A week without drinks or a week of ramping up the cooking. This stuff really works. And you can even go back to listen to our like five things, or sort of five things to do right now to feel better fast. Podcast, that's a great one of what we actually do. And it just means going from pretty good to feeling great. And you deserve to feel great. So it's a big one. So that's it for today. Please, please spread the word. Tune in. I personally tune out when podcasts say to subscribe or rate. But if you love us or like us, please subscribe, rate.
and show us the changes that you're making. We love to see that, how this works in action. And the other thing is, a lot of people, we've heard that people take notes and listen to the episodes twice, which is like awesome.
The ultimate compliment, yeah.
But we do have our show notes up, which we've discussed a couple of times. If you go to the website and click on podcast and scroll down, you'll see like a lot of the brands and specifics that we mentioned in each episode.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to cook tonight. What about you?
I have to say, I've already been, sort of just with September, not sober September, but soberer, like just drinking, way less, back to my like normal, like few drinks a week. Feels really good.
I'm not committing to that. Cooking is my jam. Okay, have a great week. Bye.